same exact lesson, but going on the same point of looking at Romans chapter 12 and there in verse 1. The lesson this morning and the lesson tonight, I believe, go hand in hand together as they go right along with each other. The same verse, and since we're speaking of the lesson that I intended to bring out as I go to Tennessee for the gospel meeting come the end of the month, they plan on asking during the meeting tonight if anyone wants to fill in for me that Sunday. So have that in mind if you desire to present a lesson. So we enjoy having brethren, and it's good to have the opportunity to step up and present the word, and know the brethren would enjoy hearing the word from you if you desire to do that. But continue on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Once again, and reading that, says, I beseech you, therefore, and this is what we talked about this morning, is that beseech you, therefore, brethren. But tonight will be by the mercies of God. As he goes, I beseech you, therefore, by brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here, once again, as Paul gets into this chapter, of course he's not writing in chapters as he's writing this letter, it's all continuous flow, and you know, it would have broke up maybe in the paragraphs and stuff, but he was writing this, and he comes to this point that he is calling them, as we talked about this morning, he is pleading with them, he is begging them to make their lives right with God, to continue to fight that good fight, to be transformed, as you read into verse 2, and not to be conformed to this world. And we talked about that plea, and we talked about how we have that responsibility to one another, and we talked about our individual actions. But when Paul pleads with them, and he begs them to make their lives right, to do what is necessary, he doesn't do this all on his own will. But when he says these things, he does it by the mercies of God. He says, I plead with you by the mercies of God. I beseech you by the mercies of God. And that's what I want to talk about this evening, is the mercies of God. And, you know, in the first point that we had this morning, I don't plan on turning to these verses because we looked at them this morning, but each point, the few verses we looked at this morning, it was all the same point as we talked about how often Paul would make that mention, how often they wrote and they said, I urge you, or I plead with you, or I beseech you to continue in this way, to be in unity, to be reconciled with God, to speak of one mind. And each time, in 1 Corinthians 1:10, we looked at that this morning, he says he did these things by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he pleaded for that unity, he pleaded for that oneness, he says, I do this by the name of the Lord Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, once again, he says he does these things as God were pleading through us. And he urges them once again. He pleads with them. But he says, as God, if we're doing it through me. Of course, we know that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit as he did these things. So as we plead with one another, as we go to each other to pull each other forward and to urge one another to continue to fight the good fight, we do it through God's word. And even in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, here he says, as a prisoner of the Lord, as a bondservant of Christ, he urges them, he pleads with them, he begs them to do what is necessary. And he does the same thing here in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But he says, by the mercies of God. And so each of them are a little bit different. He talks about being a prisoner of God, or he says, through the sacrifice of Christ. But here it's talking about the mercies. The mercies of God. And so I want to talk about the mercy of God. And one point of bringing that out is that God is a merciful God. We look throughout the Word, we look out throughout the Bible, and we will see that God is a merciful God, that He is a caring God, He is a loving and kind, and He is willing to show compassion to us lowly
lowly servants that He created. He is a merciful God.
So in Ephesians chapter 2, if you do open your Bibles and follow along, Ephesians chapter 2, and reading there, and in verse 4, Ephesians 2, and starting in verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So as you look at here, it says, God who is rich in mercy. And you think, and it talks about the grace of God, about the sacrifice that He has made, about the love He has for us. He is rich in mercy. Thinking about all the things that He has done for us, all the mercy, all the compassion, all the love that God has shown to us. He's rich in it. He has so much mercy that, I mean, if we sit there and truly think about what it is that God has done for us, what all God continues to do for us, He is continuously showing that love, that mercy for us. In Micah chapter 7, verse 18. In Micah, or that's supposed to be Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Get myself confused occasionally. Micah chapter 7. You turn along with me and you read verse 18 here. It says, "Who is God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of His heritage? He does not retain His anger forever because He delights in mercy." I'm getting ahead of myself to a further verse I'm going to get into. But here it brings out that He delights in mercy. It says He doesn't hold on to His anger. He doesn't hold on to the wrath. And occasionally as we read, and we're going to study, we're going to bring up these points here in a little bit, that God does occasionally get angry with us. Because He is a jealous and a zealous God for His people. And He desires that we be obedient. He desires what is best for us. And even then, as all the things we've studied throughout the Minor Prophets and studying throughout the Old Testament, when we see the children of Israel continue to go back and sin, He says He does not continue in that anger. In fact, as He continues in, He ends up being merciful, allowing a remnant to return, always allowing a small portion to be saved, continuing to show mercy to all of mankind. He is a merciful God. He is a loving, kind, merciful God. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4 and in verse 16. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Here it brings out once again, and the reason we go to God, the reason we should, you know, once again, is, you know, the love He has shown to the compassion He continues to show to us. And the knowing, the reason is because we know that He's such a loving God and that He is a merciful God and He's willing to forgive our sins. And it says, once again, we have to have confidence that God is a merciful God. That's what it says. We come boldly to that throne of grace to receive mercy from Him. Because we're in a lower position. Where He has all right. Let's understand, that's what we're talking about. If you're not in the position to show mercy to somebody, you know, you're in a position, when you need someone's mercy, you're in that position of being punished. You're in that position of needing forgiveness. You're in that position of needing something wiped out, cleansed. Otherwise, you're in debt. You're continuously in debt. And God is always in the higher position. He is in the position of looking at us, seeing our sin, knowing our sin. And yet He shows mercy. He's ready to forgive. He's continuously loving
and continuously giving us second chances. That's who our God is, and we have to be bold. We have to be confident in our God, who He is. Confident that He is a merciful God. Otherwise, what good does it do to come forward and to be baptized into Christ if we don't believe that we're forgiven?
We don't believe we have a chance. And the only reason we have a chance is because who God is.
That He is a merciful and loving, kind God. We have a merciful God. You understand, He's been merciful all. He's been showing mercy from the beginning. He's been merciful since the beginning of time. We need to realize. We need to understand that. Because once again, God was there before time. You go to Genesis 1 and verse 1. And you go to John 1 and verse 1. And you look and you read about our God. You read about our Lord and Savior. They created all things in the beginning. There wasn't anything. There was nothing there. Then God created the heavens and the earth. And He formed it. And He went forth and created these things. And then He decided, I'll create mankind. And I will make them in the image of us. In the image of God. He created man and woman. Once again, that's a mercy that He has given. Because once again, you think about all these creatures that are on this earth. We're not the fastest creature in the world. We're not the strongest creatures in the world. But He has made us to where we have dominion over all these other creatures. Over a strong bear. We have dominion over it. Because we're wiser. We have understanding. We've made this technology where we could outdo the bear or a lion. Technically, when it is a one-on-one fight and you're standing up there, you don't have anything to aid you. We're not going to stand a chance against the bear on. God has given us that dominion, showing that compassion for us. But since the beginning of time, He's always been planning to aid us, to give us the opportunity to be saved. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, 2 Timothy 1 and in verse 9, here it says, who has saved us and called us with His holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Knowing that He was going to give us free will. Knowing that we would be imperfect people. It says this was set up and planned. They had to have a way in order for us to be saved. Have you ever considered a project once you get into it, or you think about whether or not to even start a project, and you say, this is just a work. You know, there's no point of getting into it because it's never going to work. And there's no point of doing it because they're never going to go in the right manner. When you look at mankind in comparison to God, and God deciding, look, we're going to create this world. We're going to put all these creatures inside of this world. And then we're going to put mankind, and they're going to have dominion over it. But they're going to need a way of salvation because they're not going to get it right. You can stop right there and decide, well, we know that's how it's going to play out. We know that you, His Son, Jesus, would have to come down and die for us. And yet He was willing go forth with it. Willing to show that mercy to us. Willing to give us a chance. Willing for that remnant. For the few who are willing to seek out the truth. The mercy that God continues to show His people. And then you get into Genesis chapter 6. As years have gone by. Years that have gone by that after God had created this world. Adam and Eve, of course, started off on the wrong hand and ate of the fruit, the one thing that they shouldn't have done. And then after that, their son ends up killing their other son. I mean, it's not a good start for mankind. And as the years pass by, it continues to go downhill. And you get to Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 6. It says that the Lord was sorry that He had made man on earth, and He was grieved in His heart.
So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Once again, he's looking up on the earth. He's looking at all mankind. And it says their thoughts, their ways were continuously evil. But Noah found grace in the sight of God. But a few people of the entire world, eight people, found grace in the sight of God. God decided to show mercy, not just to this family, but to mankind altogether. Because saving these eight souls, he ended up allowing man to continue upon this earth, giving you and me the opportunity today. The mercy, the compassion, the love he has for us. And he was willing to continue it. It's again understanding who our Lord God is. In Psalm 103, once again, talking about the Lord's anger here. Psalm 103, and in verse 8. Here it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He is merciful, abounding in mercy. Once again, slow to anger. Think about all the years that had passed by before he even decided to destroy the world there in Genesis 6. And then, as time has gone by, we know that he has set a day aside. Through studying the Word of God, you go to 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 and see that there is a day that we don't know when, that God our Father has set aside to destroy this world. But as we look at the world, you see the evil continuously growing. Evil is continuously being accepted more and more by mankind. The sin, the transgressions against God is being accepted. And you ask why God continues to allow these things to go. Why does he not just destroy it now? Because he's being merciful. Because he's being long-suffering, patient, allowing all to have the opportunity to repent of their sins. Allowing all to have the opportunity to be saved. God is a merciful God, a loving God. He turned back to Romans. In Romans, we're going to talk about God's mercy. We're going to talk about these verses right here. And then you look at the way chapter 12 and verse 1, that very first part, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God. He's talking about what he has been talking about in chapter 11. He's calling upon that mercy that is being talked about here in chapter 11. Because he goes forward throughout this chapter and talks about Israel and how they have rejected God, bringing the opportunity to the Gentiles, to you and me, to be saved. But also the fact that the Jews are not out of the run, that they still have the opportunity to be saved too. God is still merciful unto them. Again, it's kind of bringing out the point that he's always been merciful. You read with me here in Romans 11 and verse 33. It says, all the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I read that, and I automatically think about the story of Job. As when God finally confronted him, and he says, where were you when I created all things? Who are you to question my way? How can we question his judgment? How can we question his call? Here he brings out the point, and he goes right into this part of pleading with us to obey, to be transformed and not conformed to this world by renewing our mind by the will of God, to be a living and holy sacrifice. He pleads that upon the mercies of God. By the mercy of God. I want to talk about that mercy he has shown to you. Mercy he has shown to me. Once again, if you're still there in Romans 11, we'll go up a few more verses. Romans 11, reading there in verse 30. And in verse 30, it says, "For as you were once disobedient to God, yet you have now obtained mercy through their disobedience." Once again, speaking how the Jews had rejected Christ, therefore bringing the opportunity to you and I, bringing us the opportunity to be saved. In verse 31, it says, "Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy." They're bringing out that since God opened it to all, they can repent of their sins. They can come to God also. All have the opportunity to be saved. Verse 32 says, "For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all." Because then if it continued the way it was under the old law, if it continued to be Israel, the Jews, you would have an opportunity. But because God has called all, has claimed all under disobedience, that means everyone, though, has the opportunity to be saved. He's able to be merciful to all who are willing to call upon the Lord, all who are willing to obey and submit themselves to God. He has given that to you. He's given you that opportunity to be saved. The mercy he has shown to each and every one of us. In James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, and in verse 17. Here it's telling us, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Once again, God's mercy, God's kindness, God's gift that he's blessed us with. He says every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from our Father. And think about the last part of there. That's another great, merciful gift that God is blessed with. The fact that God does not change. He's not continuously changing the needs, the standard. Changing what has to be done in order to be saved. He's given it to us. And we don't have to continuously look for the updates. It's always there. It's unchanging. We just look for it. We just seek the truth. And we're willing to obey it. Be doers of the word. Continue in his way. But you think about all that he's blessed us with, all that he has given to us, and what have we given back? God. This is where I was trying to go earlier. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, "A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence?" says the Lord of hosts. "To the priest who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name?" God says, if I am your creator, if I am your God, if I am your Father, because he has purchased us with the blood of Christ, and he says, where is my honor? Where is my reverence that we are supposed to be showing him? That's what Paul is writing here. He is calling us to consider all that God has done for us. And if you consider all those things, you think about all those things he's blessed us with. And he says, and you need to do these things for him. To give him the honor. To show him the reverence. That means you are going to be a living sacrifice for him. You are no longer going to be conformed to this world, but you're going to be transformed by the renewing of mind, by making his will our conscience. Turning to him, looking to him, because we are giving ourselves over to the Lord. In Titus chapter 2, this is why our Lord has given himself for us. Titus chapter 2, and starting there in verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak
despise you. What we read there in Malachi, he said to the priest, but understand, if you choose to obey the word of God, you choose to be baptized in Christ, you have become the Lord's special person, and you need to be zealous for good works. You need to remember the mercy that God has shown to you. Remember that He was willing to sacrifice His Son. Therefore, you're willing to give yourself as a living sacrifice. So when Paul pleads to his brethren, and as we plead to one another, as we consider the work that we are doing, and we consider one another, let us always remember we're doing it for God. We're doing it to show His love. When we shine our light and people see our works, they will glorify our Father up above. They will honor Him, not us. When we remember all the mercies that God has blessed us with. Because it doesn't say, I plead with you by the mercy of God, but the mercies. All that God has blessed us with. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. You are here and you know all the wonderful things God has blessed you with, and you want to accept, you have to be willing to accept that gift. The grace of God is a gift of God. Be it one, take it. Because just as today, if you're willing to decline someone's gift, never open it up, never look, see what it is, never take it to be yours, it's not yours. God has given us a gift. He's given us His Son. He lays salvation at your feet if you're willing to accept it. If you're willing to come forward and to be baptized into Christ and wash away your sins, we want to extend that opportunity tonight or any time that you come to that understanding that you need to be baptized for your sins to be washed away in order to have a home in heaven. If you're here and you need prayer and congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, you let it be known as we stand. Thank you.